Hallelujah. I want to speak tonight about being a new wineskin church. I always used to think, you know, maybe this church should have been called New Wineskin Church rather than New Wine Church. But you don't really know if you're a new wineskin until the new wine comes, basically. And Jesus said this in Luke chapter 5. He said, "No one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says the old is better." That's a problem that some people have, and that's when you discover whether you're a new wineskin or not, because the Holy Spirit comes, and Jesus gave that parable because apparently if you put new wine into old wineskins, the activity of that new wine, because the old wineskin has become brittle over time and it's not able to stretch anymore, the activity of that new wine will burst the old wineskin. And when the Holy Spirit, you don't discover whether you're a new wineskin or not until the Holy Spirit comes and begins his activity in your life, and he says, "See that person over there you haven't spoken to for 5 years, why don't you go and tell him you love him?" And you discover whether you're a new wineskin or not. Because the old wineskin can't handle that. The old wineskin bursts at that, and what God wanted to do is lost. The old wineskin bursts and everything's lost. God says, "I want you to believe for that building over there that I'm going to give you that building, and you're going to have meetings there, and I'm going to show up, and my presence is going to bless people there, and your old wineskin bursts." Come on. And so on, and so on, and so on. And we need to understand it, that it's so important that we're not old wineskins, but that we're new wineskins. And the Holy Spirit will continually come to challenge you. He's here to challenge you, because if you can't accept the challenge, you can't be changed, and he's here to change you, and every change comes as a result of responding to a challenge. Who knows what I'm talking about tonight? He's always challenging. He's always seeking to stretch you. That's why you must be a new wineskin, because the new wineskin stretches with the activity of the new wine to accommodate the new wine so that God can direct you as a new wineskin so he can take you to places where he pours out the new wine into the lives of others. But if you're still that old wineskin, if you're that brittle old wineskin, then everything that God seeks to do, and he's always trying to do something in your life. He's always seeking to do something through you. He's always seeking to reach somebody else through you. But if you're that old wineskin, then everything that he tries to do will be lost. And what a tragedy that would be. Amen? We were singing tonight, remember, how great is our God. And that's indisputable, isn't it? I mean, the scientists still haven't been able to figure out where it all ends. With all of their telescopes and everything else, they haven't been able to get to the end of it. And some of them cancel out God because of that. But for us, it's not. That just shows us more and more of the greatness of God. You know, and as we were singing there tonight, how great is our God, I thought, well, it's indisputable how great our God is, because his immensity and what he's created is just so incredible. It's not that, have you seen that DVD, Indescribable? And it is, it's indescribable, the greatness of our God and everything that he's done and everything that he's created is just beyond our human comprehension. And yet in Colossians chapter 2, it says concerning Jesus Christ, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him." And yet one day, well, first of all, it says that he stripped himself of all of his heavenly glory, it tells us in Philippians, and he came down into this earth and he became a servant. But one day he actually, this is the greatness of God, this is where you see the true greatness of God. There's many great people in there, people who people respect and lift up and exalt, and they say, "What a great man, what a great woman." But you never get to meet them, you never get to shake their hand, you wouldn't get within 100 miles of them. They live in gated communities behind locked doors, and you might see a picture of them on the TV, but that's probably as close as you'll ever get to them. But this one that says, "By him and through him and for him, all things were created," one day put a table. The Holy Spirit that was upon him said, "Put that towel around your waist and get down on your knees in front of your disciples and wash their manky feet." And he got down there. That's the greatness. That's where the true greatness of our God can be seen in ways that we can understand, that we can comprehend, that we can see. Come on. It's indisputable the greatness of our God in the things that are invisible, way beyond what we can see. But he showed his greatness in a way that we could see, and that he came down and he humbled himself and he obeyed the Holy Spirit. Something, you know, sometimes we, even in the church, we want to be the big shot. We want to be the man. We want to be the woman of God. And there's nothing wrong with that. God wants you to be the man and the woman of God. He wants you to find fame in his kingdom. And through his kingdom, he wants people to know that I can go to that person and they'll pray for me and I'll be healed. God wants that. He wants your fame to spread. But he also wants you to be able to hear his voice when he says, get down on your knees in front of that person and wash your feet. I want you to go and serve that person. I want you to do something for that person so they will see my greatness revealed in you, in your servanthood, in your humility, in your willingness. Come on. It's at these places. Not many people, the wineskin doesn't usually burst when he says, I want you to go and preach to that crowd of 10,000. Oh, yeah, no problem. Me and you together, Lord, oh, yeah, no problem. But he says, I want you to go down the road and visit that person down there and just knock their door and I want you to go in there and tell them just how much I love them. Come on. Sometimes the wineskin bursts then. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The new wineskin church. Hallelujah. You know you're a new wineskin church when the Holy Spirit activity begins in your life and God begins to direct you to particular places and situations and you don't burst. Come on, some of you. God's been calling some of you to speak and to preach and go to different places and connect with different people and you burst. Come on. Hallelujah. Well, your wineskin can be renewed. In fact, if you go in there, and in the Greek, I believe there's a different word for new wine, the new in the wine part, than it is the new in the wineskin bit. And it can actually mean the new wine skin, the Greek word there for new, could actually mean renewed. And God comes to renew us, and you need to understand, God wants to renew you. If you've become brittle, if there's things that God's been asking you to do that have created a burst in you, and he wants to come and renew you. He wants to equip you so that you're able to be stretched beyond the places of your little rinky-dinky comfort zone. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. John chapter 3, verses 16 to 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. I wish we could get that down the inside of us. He said, as the Father has sent me, so I have sent you. So if he didn't send Jesus to condemn the world, how would he send us to condemn the world? Come on. But that the world through him might be saved. We are here for one purpose, and that is to get the world saved. And you won't get them saved by condemning them, because these things are contradictory. But we're good at condemnation. That's the old wineskin. The old wineskin loves condemnation. The old wineskin's got no room for people that don't fit your parameters for who should be saved and who shouldn't. Or how they should get saved and how they shouldn't. Or where they're really saved or where they're not. Come on. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We don't need to condemn any because they're already condemned. That's what it says. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done. And God. So there's three things I want us to get a hold of tonight concerning the new wineskin church. Hallelujah. And that is that this church, the new wineskin church, has been bought by the Father, is sought by the Son, and is taught by the Holy Spirit. It was back in the beginning. God said, let us make man in our image. God is a triune being, and so he made man as a triune being. God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He created man as a spirit, a soul, and a body. Man is a spirit. He has a soul. He lives in a body. When we're born again, we became new creations. And what happens? The first thing that happens is this Holy Spirit, this new wine, Holy Spirit, comes and opens up a cry in our heart and in our spirit. What's that cry? Come on. Abba Father. Abba Father. Can you handle that this morning, this evening? Can you really cope with this calling God Daddy business? Or are you still that old wineskin? Are you still saying, oh no, I much prefer to hold God in reverence and awe and hold him way out there at a distance and just, come on. Well, you see, you need to do that. You need to recognize that's who he is. But he's also the God who comes into your heart and brings a cry that says, you can call me Daddy now. Come on. Every little child looks up in awe at his father. Come on. I mean, up to a child's about 12 years old that thinks his father can do anything. Knows everything. About anything. Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father opens up a cry in our spirit. The Son invites us to come and to learn from him and to have our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions renewed and be conformed to his. And our body becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. And we have a body that's been designed to do the same works that Jesus did by the power of the same Holy Spirit that he was anointed with. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and may the God of peace himself sanctify, set you apart by God, for God completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are set apart for the Father in our spirit, for the Son in our soul, and for the Holy Spirit in our body. We must have the same spirit relationship. In 1 Corinthians 6, I believe it says that he who's joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. That's pretty incredible stuff. That's mighty stuff. You need to have a new wineskin, new mentality. And I believe the Lord showed me this a long time ago, that the new wineskin is the new covenant. People must have made that transition that we spoke about this morning from the old covenant to the new covenant. If you still have an old covenant mindset, it's an old wineskin and it will always burst at what God seeks to bring to you and through you. We must have that same spirit within us that Jesus had, that same spirit relationship with the Father that Jesus had, and we must, as Paul said, let his mind, the mind of Christ, be in us. Let this mind be in you, he says, the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. That means we'll start thinking the way he thought. And if we start thinking the way we thought, we'll start speaking the way he spoke. We won't have any problem saying to someone, your sins are forgiven, Paul. And all the religious folks around and all the old wineskin folks will say, how dare you tell him his sins are forgiven? Come on. Well, I'm just saying what Jesus said. You start acting the way Jesus acted, you'll develop the same habits that Jesus had. They were always good habits, never bad habits. Hallelujah. Come on. You'll start thinking, maybe I should get up a little bit earlier in the morning and just find a place where I can plug into the presence of God and charge up a little bit. Maybe tonight when everybody else goes to bed, I'll just stay up and spend some time in the presence of the Lord and do a bit of soaking. Hallelujah. Develop some of the same habits that Jesus had. Amen. And the same character that was in him will become the character that manifests and is displayed in you, in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. And all of a sudden we'll begin to walk in the same destiny. The Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of the devil, and we'll begin to get involved in that. Hallelujah. Come on. We'll start to do the same Holy Spirit-empowered works that he did. Quite naturally, supernaturally. And supernaturally, naturally, it won't be an effort. It won't be anything to do with striving. Or, no, it'll be nothing to do with that. It'll just be quite natural. Mm. Glory to God. Lord, I say, just lay hands on that person. Just go and put your hand on him. You don't have to start jumping up and down and start ranting. Just go and put your hand on him. And as you put your hand on them, they'll say, whoa, what's that? And the power of God will touch them, and amen, they'll be instantly healed. Hallelujah. Come on. All the effort's out of it. Glory to God. All the whole performance thing's out of it. You don't have to put up posters and announce a big crusade and everything else. You just go about doing it. Nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying, but just as we go about our business, as we go about our daily lives. Hallelujah. John 3:16, it says, whoever believes. See, who knows, whoever includes an opportunity for everyone to believe. Now, I know there's some popular theology that says God doesn't want to save everybody. He doesn't want to heal everybody either. He doesn't want to deliver everybody. And then there's another theology that says that sometimes it's the same kind, it's the same mess of theology that says that God will actually save people against their will. Or without their consent. You know what I'm saying? If you're on the list, folks, come on. If you're not on the list, it's too bad. If you're on the list, he'll save you whether you like it or not. And a lot of people, and this is the and where we minister, and we need to understand a lot of that, we lived in that environment, we picked up some of that stuff. We might be wired with some of that stuff. And that's the old wineskin that we're going to struggle against, that the Holy Spirit's going to come and he's going to challenge us and say, come on, I want to save that person right now. Oh, but you know, Lord, you don't know what they've done, you know who they are, blah, 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 blah. I said, no, I'm just going to save them and I'm going to release them into a brand new life and I'm going to forget everything they ever did. Hallelujah. You know, there's a process called galvanization. A lot of crofts around here and that, they have gates that are galvanized. You know, it's supposed to protect the metal underneath from corrosion and make it last a little bit longer. It doesn't help a lot where we live, but Belbeg's one of the worst places where rust I ever saw, bless God. But I think some of us, we've been galvanized. You see, galvanization is to protect that metal against the elements. You know, well, the elements in the new covenant are the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. But some people have been galvanized against the power that's in the body and the blood of Jesus Christ to save, to heal, and to deliver everybody. So I want to challenge you tonight, if you have been affected by galvanization, if there's still anything in you, because God's going to challenge you, the Holy Spirit in you is going to tell you to reach out to people that your religion would never reach out to. He's going to ask you and challenge you to include people that your religion would exclude. Because that's what he's in the business of doing. He crosses every boundary that religion set in place. Come on. He knocks down every wall that religion erected. Hallelujah. And if you're not a new wineskin, you're going to struggle with that. And everything that God challenges you to do that will bring great change, not in just in your life, but in the life of the person you reach out to, will be lost. You see, another thing about being Calvinized and having that whole Calvinization process is that you become covered in a layer of fatalistic theology. Wow. A lot of people that live by faith and not by faith. And I want to tell you, I hear that sometimes in people that should know better. As I said before, you want to know what a person really believes, just listen to them talk for a while. Because what they believe will come out of their mouth. Come on, because what's in the heart, the mouth speaks what's in the heart. You can say amen and shout hallelujah to everything, and then the next minute you're talking totally opposite to it. Very often you'll find that the full truth of the new covenant is blocked by that Calvinization process. So a lot of the fullness of the new covenant protection and provision just bounces off our lives. And we accept everything that comes along as being God's will and God's provision. Come on. And they wrap it up in a fancy word called providence. Sounds like a good word. providence. Sounds like God's providing something, except usually it applies to things he hasn't provided. People live by faith instead of by faith. They live by a messed up theology instead of by the Word of God, the living Word of God, the Word of God that never changes. The Word by which he upholds all things. The Word of his power. Hallelujah. So everything that comes along is God's will. So there's only one way to deal with that, folks, and that's to get realigned with the throne of God so that his kingdom can come. And so that his will can be done on earth. That will that he's already determined and established in heaven, which is always to do good. Which is always to reveal his goodness. Always to reveal his glory. He told Moses, my glory and my goodness are synonymous, Moses. You want to see my glory? Well, you just get in the cleft of the rock there and I'll let my goodness pass before you. Hallelujah. God's glory is revealed in his goodness. Matthew 11, verse 11, in the New Living Translation, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Of all who have ever lived, none is greater than John the Baptist. Yet, even the least person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. As I said it this morning, so much of the preaching that we hear is John the Baptist preaching. It's old covenant preaching, trying to batter people into the heaven. You know what I'm saying? Trying to scare the living pants off. Come on. Come on, just light a big enough fire underneath their backside and maybe we'll scare them in. That's not what Jesus came to do. I'm sorry, that's not what he came to do. Do you realize what this means? Jesus was saying that John the Baptist was greater than all of the old covenant men and women that had ever lived, and yet anyone who is born again is greater than him. Amen. Hey, that includes us. That includes you and me. We need to meditate on that a while. See if we can't maybe extract something totally life-changing from it. Jesus was the firstborn of a brand new breed. That's what it says in Colossians there before. It says all things were made by him and for him and through him. It says he was the firstborn over all creation. He was the firstborn of a brand new breed of human beings. And some of us in here tonight, we're examples of that. That brand new breed of human beings. We were designed to live by faith and not by fate. That means we can expect supernatural. Are you I'm going around the last while and I think, and I've been speaking with some Christians and just visiting different Christian environments and different places, and I begin to realize there's a serious lack of hope out there, folks. That's because of that Calvinization. That's because of that fatalistic thinking, because faith is the substance of things hoped for. I meet people and I listen to what they're saying. I think, you've got no hope. You've lost hope. That's your problem. In Romans 5 it says, hope does not disappoint because his love, the love of God, has been poured out in our hearts. Hallelujah. Paul said these three remain, faith, hope and love, and the greatest of these is love. Why is the greatest love? Because God's not faith. It doesn't say God is faith. It doesn't say God is hope. It says God is love. Because God is love, I can put my faith in him and I can hope in him and expect him to protect me and expect him to provide for me because he's my daddy. Amen. And that's what daddies do. Now my old wineskin can't cope with that. Just burst again. There it goes again. Lost another load of wine. But that's the truth. Remember when Sarah was about 5 or 6, I had a crash on the Barbas Moor. James was with me. He landed on top of me. I'll tell you, that was not a happy experience. He was a bit lighter then, right enough, so was I. I landed on the cash box, he landed on me. The cash box was no good for him, never ever saw that. But when Sarah heard, she was 5 or 6 years old, when she heard what had happened, she said to Katrina, she says, Daddy will have to be all right. Because God still has a work for him to do. Amen. Come on. That's out of the mouth of babes. Hallelujah. See, the greatest tragedy of the church has been that failure to enter into the kingdom. And so As I said before, the bulk of the preaching has been in an old covenant style rather than being a continuation of the new covenant ministry of Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Well, he didn't just, he preached and he taught the kingdom, but then he demonstrated the kingdom. He didn't, as I said, John the Baptist was supposed to be the last revivalist preacher ever. You don't need another revivalist preacher. You need kingdom preachers. Glory to God. Amen. Jesus, the reason that revivals never last, as I said this morning, is because Jesus put an end to revival. He cut off revival and said, here's the kingdom. The old covenant was after, they were always needing revival. Revival, revivals, 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 revivals. Jesus said, that's the end of revival. I want to give you an entrance into the kingdom. Not a revival that will end, but a kingdom that never ends. An everlasting kingdom. So you can get rid of all your John the Baptist preaching and start preaching Jesus. And start getting involved in a Jesus ministry. Hallelujah. Which preaches the kingdom. Doesn't try and scare you into heaven. It just says, look, how can you refuse this? Come on. You're never going to get a better deal than this. Glory to God. It doesn't cost you nothing. There's nothing you have to do. You don't have to come sling and snort or nothing else. You just have to walk into it. Hallelujah. Come on. You don't have to spend the next 6 weeks trying to pretend how sorry you are for your sin. You don't even have to do that. You just have to walk into it.
Amen.
And begin to embrace. And let go of all that mess. Just leave sin behind and walk into the kingdom and begin to embrace what's in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Leave your bitterness and your hatred and your unforgiveness behind and just accept and receive the fullness of the love and the joy and the peace. Amen. Come on. What a night we had a couple of weeks ago in here. Amen. I don't need to wait for that to happen again. I just start laughing whenever I feel like it. A guy said to me the other day, he says, you always seem to manage to be upbeat, don't you? That's a choice I make. That's just a decision I make. I'm not going to look on the dark side or the black side. I'm just going to let the joy of the Lord stir up. Come on. I'm going to do some mumbongos, you know what I'm saying? I let that new joy tongue just like bongo, shinga, bunga, dunga, bongo, ringa, bong. Next thing I know, I'm off. I'm laughing. Come on. Don't need you to be there. I'm not here to put on a wee show for you. Karabashaka. A few bongos and I'm off. See, some of you, your old wineskin's struggling right now. It's like, the new wine's just bouncing off and it's about to burst. Unless you can, Lord, stretch me so I can do that. God didn't say, oh, Donnie's really special. I think I'll bless him with that. Oh, Donnie's such a good boy, Donnie. Hallelujah. Come on. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
And you need to take it. And sometimes you need to get violent in your taking of it. You say, no Calvinization is going to stop me taking it. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No mess that Granny taught it and we bought it, but I'm just going to leave it. Hallelujah. God bless Granny. She's in the glory now anyhow. I ain't going to let what she said stop me taking it. Come on, now she knows all about it. Now she knows the stuff she taught me was junk. Some of it, not all of it, don't you understand? All the limitations that were placed, oh guy. I used to go to my granny's house, and on a Sunday they would lock the door so I couldn't go out. They'd take all my comics off me. And say, we're going to bed, you just sit there. One time, I knew even back then, bless God, I was only about 12 years old, something was stirring in me. I don't know if I was crying, and I climbed out the window and ran all the way 2 miles to Garibald. My uncle gave me a lift back from Garibald. I climbed back in the window before they got back up. They didn't know I'd left. Hallelujah. See, how crazy was that? Then one day they'd say, well, you can go out today, but you must go up the back of the croft. Don't go down to the shore. All the bad people go to the shore on the Sabbath. What did that do for a young child? Oh, I want to serve your God. Oh, yes. Give me more. I'll have some more of that. Thank you very much. Get out of here. I want to get as far away from that as I could. Come on. That was where they were at. That was their understanding. That's the way they thought it was supposed to be. But they were wrong. I know young people today who still buy into that. They want that. They don't want anything different from that. You tell them anything different, they're old wineskin. come on, you know it. I always thought it would change with the generations, but no, there's a lot of people still stuck in that. And they don't want change. They don't want anything different from that. They think that's the way it's supposed to be. And sometimes God's going to send you and say, go, get Aaron Reynolds. Get him a few bongo bongos. See that? Come on. Come on, go out and share them what the Lord did for you last night. Oh, man, that was me last night. Hold up, I shut up. Woo! Oh! God showed up. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. He would never show up in your church. False fire, false fire. Do it again. Tell him again. Come on. Get that, some of that infectious Kurum stuff, get it on him. The real Kurum, you know. It'll cure him. It'll kill him or cure him, I'll tell you what. See if you can just rub that. See, that wineskin, that old wineskin, you need to rub it. You know, get the oil in and rub it so it gets renewed. You know, you got to make contact with something to rub it. Amen. You can't rub something from a distance. You guys say, well, I'll just rub it from over here. No, you've got to rub. You've got to get near them to rub on them. You've got to rub up against them. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, and the old covenant says iron sharpens iron, and the new covenant is oil just gets all over everybody. Hallelujah. Rub them up the right way, not the wrong way. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, no, I don't want... See, if you start arguing with the Holy Spirit, you say, no, we can't go near them. They don't want anything of this. You know what they want. Moses said, I can't go back there, Lord. He says, I've heard the cry of my people. And I'm telling you, Moses, I want you to go back there. And I want you to go in that Pharaoh's face and tell him to let my people go. And you can't do it from here. You've got to go back there to do it. Hallelujah. Sometimes you need to take a week. See, Moses didn't go back to the promised land to tell the people that everything was okay. He said, I've come to tell you we're leaving. But he couldn't tell them they were leaving from the wilderness. He had to go back down there and amongst them to tell them that God had a better plan than that. Come on. Hallelujah. God says, I want you to go and share this, what God did for you last night with that person. Oh, no, they won't want to hear that. You just manifested old wineskin there. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus went to the sinners' houses and the Pharisees got upset. He went to the Pharisees' houses and the sinners got upset. Come on. He didn't see Pharisee. He just saw lost. He just saw disconnected from God's plan and purpose and God's life and God's heart and God's blessing. And he just got down there and got in amongst it. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's time for us to become the people we were born again to be. It's time for us to be that glorious church. Say, I'm part of a glorious church. Hallelujah. Every time you're that old wineskin murmuring and grumbling, you know, murmuring and grumbling and complaining will kill anything. Kill anything, kill a marriage, it'll kill a business, it'll kill a church, kill everything. Next time you're tempted to complain and murmur about that church, just say, I'm part of a glorious church. Because that's the church that your Heavenly Father sees. That's the church that Jesus sees. That's the church the Holy Spirit sees. A glorious church. He's not coming back for a murmuring, grumbling, complaining, broken down, falling apart church. He's coming back for a glorious church. You need to start saying, I'm part of a glorious church. Hallelujah. I'm part of a glorious church. A church without a spot or a wrinkle or any such thing. A church that's holy and without blemish. That's the church I'm part of. Hallelujah. I'm part of a blood-washed church, a blood-bought church. I said we were going to look at three things, then I would better move on if we're going to do that very quickly. Before Katrina start looking at me. You know the look, don't you? And the eyes go over to the cloak. My uncle was a preacher of the Church of Scotland. He said, Donnie, he says, don't worry about them looking at their watches. So when they start going like this, you start. Is that thing working? Hallelujah. First thing about the new wineskin church, it's bought. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20. Don't you realize that your body is the temple? I mean, come on. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. Yes, sir. I love it when I go and visit my friends over in Tennessee, and because the kids, the father will say to one of the kids, go and do that. They say, yes, sir. The mother will say, will you do that for me? Yes, ma'am. Amen. Glory to God. No, I'm not saying they don't. You know, I mean, they're kids. I'm sure there might be some attitude, but they still. But they say, yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Amen. But it's not a groveling thing. It's just it's normal. I need to learn when the father says, go there. Yes, sir. I'm no longer my own. I've been bought with a price. I'm here to honor God with my body. I'm here to allow the Holy Spirit to use my body to reach people, to touch people, to connect with people, to bless people. Hallelujah. To speak God's words of life to them. Not to criticize them or condemn them or cuss them. To bless them. See, the church that knows that it's bought. Say, I'm bought. The church that knows that it is bought is a church where everyone is welcome. Because everyone has been given an opportunity to believe. Everyone, whoever. That means that everyone has an opportunity. Matthew 9, verses 9 to 13 from the New Living Translation. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with such scum? When Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. Then he added, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have not come to call those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Not interested in your sacrifices. I want you to begin to show mercy. I want you to begin to reveal who I am to the world. The love and the mercy and the grace that God has for everybody. In the message it says, later when Jesus was eating supper at Matthew's house with his close followers, a lot of disreputable characters came and joined him. When the Pharisees saw him keeping this kind of company, they had a fit and lit into Jesus' followers. What kind of example is this from your... Oh, have you ever heard stuff like that? What kind of example is this from your teacher acting cozy with crooks and riffraff? Jesus overhearing, shot back, who needs a doctor? The healthy or the sick? Go figure out what this scripture means. I'm after mercy, not religion. I'm here to invite outsiders, not to mollycoddle insiders. I wish the church would catch a bit of that. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The church that knows that it's bought knows. Say, I'm bought. The church that knows that it's bought is a church where everyone is welcome. Luke 19, verses 1 to 10. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, you know who they are, don't you? They're always around, aren't they? They are. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, the real Jesus didn't come looking for sinners so that he could condemn them, but he sought to save them because he's full of mercy and he's full of compassion. The church, the new wineskin church, knows not only that it is bought, but that it was sought. Say, I was sought. See, the church that knows that it was sought will be a church where everyone's needs are made. Hallelujah. I said it will be a church where everyone's needs are made, where everyone is welcome and where everyone's needs are made. If Jesus was sent into the world, it wasn't sent into the world to condemn people, but to seek and to save them, then we can be sure that he hasn't sent us to do things any differently, as I said previously. We haven't been sent to condemn people, but we're here to seek and to save them. Hallelujah. To seek them means to go looking for them, to search them out, to be diligent in searching them out, to go into the places where you wouldn't normally go to find them, because they're lost. Glory to God. Who's lost them? God's lost them. Amen. He's lost the relationship that he designed them to have with him, and he wants them. He's coming after them. We think of the lost as they're the lost ones. Well, they are, but they're lost to him. And they're lost to us. Come on. That's why when Jesus said, when you did it unto the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me, because they're all potentially his brethren. Every last one of them. Glory to God. All the ones that you've written off, he says they're my brothers. They've been lost to me. They're your brothers. My brothers. Go find them. Go seek them out. Go search them out. Hallelujah. See, the real Jesus always has something relevant to say to real people with real needs. The real Jesus came to show us the Father's heart towards the people that he had created in his own image. And that's what he sends us to do, exactly the same thing, to demonstrate the Father's heart, to show the Father's heart. As I said this morning, that woman caught in adultery. There's one man that wouldn't have condemned her, and that was her father. It wouldn't matter what she'd done or how many people she'd done it with. If her father was in that crowd, he'd have been... come on. When somebody else's son is caught dealing drugs, oh, the fool, wait for the Lord, he's to come against that boy. He needs to be taught a lesson. But if it was your son that was caught dealing drugs, you'd be looking for mercy. You'd be crying out for mercy. You'd be trying to find any way to get him off. Come on. That's the Father's heart. That's what needs to be demonstrated through us. We're not here to condemn the guilty. Glory to God. We're here to save them. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Nobody's denying their guilty. We're here to show mercy. Show mercy. That's why I said this. That's why I said that this morning. This world's a better place today than it was 100. People think it's worse. It's a lot better than it was. Like I said, 60 years ago, they were still hanging people in this country. They made a lot of mistakes. People used to, years before that, they had public hangings, and people would come out crying for blood, and they were there, hang them, hanging. One Glasgow woman says, hanging's too good for you. That's what, come on. So I say, a few hundred years ago, they were burning people at the stake, they were hanged, drawn, and quartered, they were doing all kinds of wickedness, and it was the Christians that were rubber stamping it and saying, let's do this. How far away had they moved? The world's not getting worse, it's getting better. I'm much happier to be alive today. I'm not saying everything's rosy out there. I'm not saying some things aren't bad. But I'm just telling you, it's a bear. There's more mercy today. As I said this morning, it was God who instituted tolerance. If the finger points at us continually, you're the most intolerant bunch of people ever. We need to show tolerance. Because the Father is long-suffering towards everyone, towards every sinner. Why? Because he's not willing that any of them should perish, but that all of them should come to repentance. We need to demonstrate tolerance. We're not here to wave placards against the gays or abortion or anything else. That's not what we're here to do. We're here to reach out with mercy. Hallelujah. To reach out with the love of God, not as some condescending goofy that I'm talking about. Maybe sometimes getting down on your knees and washing the feet of that gay guy. Hugging them just like we hug everybody else. Amen. Come on. We're not here to condemn women who've had abortions or who are struggling with the whole thought of that stuff. We're not here to do that. We're here to reach out with mercy. If we can at all, just do all that we can to communicate. God definitely has a better plan. That's what we are here to do, to connect them with a better plan. To remove them from the evident. Could just start looking at the clock. I better keep moving. Is that the right thing? The real real Jesus always has something relevant to say to real people with real needs. He's not going to show up at the abortion clinic and tell that young girl that she's a wicked, no good, hopeless sinner and she better get her act together. He's going to reach out with mercy and compassion and somehow seek to redirect her in her decisions. Hallelujah. He came to save life. Hallelujah. Come on. How did we get so far removed from that stuff? See, no wonder the church has become irrelevant. Jesus was never irrelevant. When someone was sick, he healed them. That's because, you know, healing's relevant to sick people. Someone had demons, he delivered them from the demons because deliverance is relevant for people who are demon-possessed or oppressed or any other kind of mess. That's why he says in Matthew 10:7-8, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Listen to what Dr. Jesus says to people. In Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he says you must be born again. Why? Because that was what he needed to hear. That was the answer to his questions. To a paralyzed man in Mark 2, he says, you must be born again. No, it's Nicodemus, you need to be born from above. Then you'll be able to understand all this stuff. Because right now, although you're a teacher in Israel, you don't understand these things because you're full of theology, but you don't know anything, you don't really know God. But this will cure it. This will sort it for you. Just get born from above. Born of the Spirit. It'll change everything. That's what he needed to hear. To a paralyzed man in Mark 2, he said, take up your bed and walk. That's what he needed to hear. That's what a paralyzed man needed to hear. That was the most relevant thing he could have heard. Take up your bed and walk. He said, I know how you got there, you wicked, no good piece of nothing. Yet. And when I know you've truly repented of your sins, then I might come back and think about healing you. No, he said, take up your bed and walk. End of story. To a leper, he says, in Mark chapter 1, the man says, if you're willing, you could make me clean. He says, I'm willing. Be cleansed. He didn't start entering a great discussion about how he became a leper. He said, be cleansed. To a widow whose only son had died in Luke chapter 7, he said to her, do not weep. Man, that would burst your old wineskin. Well, I was thinking about this the other day. You know what I mean? When you go to a funeral, you feel almost as if you must go down somewhere and be something. And I'm not. The Bible says, "No, weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice." Maybe it's just me. I don't know. But I'm assuming that maybe other people are about the same. And you just feel this burden on you to kind of, look miserable. I'm not saying walk in with a grin from ear to ear because somebody's died. You know what I'm talking about? I'm just talking about what does God want to do in the spirit here? I need to stay tuned in. I don't allow the traditions to manipulate me and control me and my responses to what's happened here. Maybe I need to be open to what the Holy Spirit wants to do here. Who knows what I'm talking about? Come on, and sometimes I felt the Holy Spirit in me weeping. But I need to be open to the Holy Spirit. Maybe there's something else he wants to do. Maybe he wants to raise this person from the dead. If I enter into the death, I won't be open to that. Do you know what I'm talking about? Because one of the things he told us to do was raise the dead. But I need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. And I've grappled with these things over the years. And I know I'm going to see someone raised from the dead. I'm going to see more than one. But I want to get it right to that place where I know that this is where it's going to happen. Because you know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Jesus just said to the woman, do not weep. And then he said to the son, because to a dead boy, the most relevant thing he can hear is, young man, I say to you, arise. Hallelujah. Come on. He didn't do anything else. He just said, arise. Arise. Get up. The demon-possessed man in the synagogue in Mark chapter 1, Jesus just says, be quiet and come out of him. To a woman caught in the act of adultery, we looked at that this morning, John chapter 8, I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. To a rich young man who was trusting in his riches, Mark chapter 10, he says, one thing you lack, go your way, sell whatever you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and then come and take up the cross and follow me. That's what was relevant in his situation. Hallelujah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. That boy, yeah, he needed to hear that. He was rich. Any rich people in here this evening? Let me tell you something. Did you know that if you earn £18,500 a year, you are in the world's top 4% of wage earners?
Wow.
Any rich people in here? Come on, just by the world standards, any rich people? And if you earn more than £22,500, you are in the top 1% of wage earners in the world. Does that change your perspective of rich a little bit? Some of us are a lot richer than we thought we were. And so every scripture that regards the responsibility of the rich applies to us. I want to tell you, if you are on benefits and you think that you can hardly make it, you're still amongst the top probably 50% or more, or 70% of wage earners in the world. Does that change things a little bit?
Thank you.
Oh, no, that's for them, super rich, mega rich. No. He says, what are you doing with what you got? One thing I noticed when I was away there in October was, man, the amount of beggars in the cities. I mean, I've noticed over the last few years it's increasing, but more and more and more and more. Yeah, but they're all on drugs, or they're all alkies. And... Excuse me? Is that what Jesus said? I put something in your pot, boy, but I know you're going to take it and spend it on drugs. No, just put something in the pot. Hallelujah. God didn't ask you to decide who you would give it to and who you wouldn't give it to. He just said, give. Somebody's rattling a pot, give them some. Hallelujah. God said that many years ago. I told you about that many times. But he said, and I just put it and said, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. That's all. And I know that when I put that money in his pot, it's blessed by God.
Amen.
He might try and spend it on drugs, but it probably won't work. Come on. Come on. You just need to know that everything you give is blessed by God. It's anointed by God. It's got supernatural power attached to it. But give it. Don't withhold it. Give it.
Amen.
Every time you withhold it, your old wineskin just kicked in. And something that God could have done through that is lost. I remember a guy telling me a couple of years ago, he said he was in Glasgow. In fact, it was Kenny Coyne. He said he was in Glasgow on one of his trips back, coming back home from his work from abroad somewhere, and he had a few hours to spend in Glasgow, I think it was, or somewhere. And the Lord said to him, he said the Holy Spirit said to him, go into that bookies over there. He said he'd never really been a betting kind of guy, and he went to the bookies and he saw a horse or a dog, and I don't know if its name was similar to his wife's name or something, and he failed to put some money on. But the Holy Spirit was telling him, put some money on that horse. He'd never been a betting man, probably didn't even know how to do it properly, but he did it. He put the money on the horse, and the horse came in, and he won. And he walked outside, and there was a homeless man there begging, and he took the money, and he put it in his pot. Now, if his old wineskin had burst when the Lord said, go in there and put a bet on that horse, come on. Are you ready for that? That kind of direction from the Holy Spirit. That poor homeless man wouldn't have got what God had for him through the... Come on, he just transferred the wealth of the wicked to the righteous. Hallelujah. Come on. And through the righteous into some man that God has declared righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ, whether he comes into the full experience of that righteousness or not. He just put something in a pot of someone that Jesus calls his brother. Come on. How's your old wineskin doing? Rattling a bit. Is a new wine bouncing off it? Is it threatening to burst it? That's just tiny little things like that. But God's got such much bigger things than that for us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, when our needs are met, we realize that we are here to meet the needs of other people. Jesus said that we would do the same works that he did. If we're going to do the same works that he did, we must speak the same words that he did. The works of Jesus were always a confirmation of the words of Jesus. Amen? We need to reach out with words of hope and of life and of peace and of mercy and of grace and words of love into people's lives. Hallelujah. And God will come and confirm these words with supernatural works. Everybody recognized that Jesus spoke differently from every other religious leader of his day. We need to start speaking differently. So often we're afraid to be different. We want to conform. We want to be the same. We want to be accepted. We want to be... Come on. Anyway, the New Wineskin Church knows that it's bought. It knows that it was sought. And because it was sought, it continues to seek. Last one. It'll be a quick one. We'll do this quickly. Well, I'm missing out a whole bunch of stuff, but anyway, hallelujah. The new wineskin. But there's one other thing just on that. You need to understand, God will never cross over the line of a person's will, either to save or to heal or to deliver them. We are here to reach out to people. We're not here to coerce them. We're not here to lambast them. We're not here to stick their arm out. Come on, we're bad with that, especially with our children. Come on, trying to force them. I tell you, every time you try and force someone into the kingdom, you could be responsible for hardening their heart a little bit. Every time you cross a line that the Holy Spirit hasn't asked you to cross in that person's life, you can be bringing hardness instead of tenderness in that person's life. Come on. The New Wineskin Church knows that it's bought, that it's sought, and that it's taught. You see, the church that knows that it's bought, sought, and taught will be a church where everyone is changed. Everyone is welcome. And ultimately, everyone is changed. Everyone's needs are met, and ultimately, everyone is changed. In Romans, say, I'm being taught. Heard this many years ago. Where you go, see, people say, oh, well, as long as they're born again, that's all that matters. And I want to tell you, that's the most important thing. But then I hear people say, so it doesn't really matter where they go after that. Yes, it does. Because where you go determines what you're taught. And what you're taught determines what you believe. And what you believe determines how you live. And how you live ultimately determines where you end up. And that doesn't mean you might go to hell instead of heaven after you're born again. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about you can end up sick instead of healed. You can end up broke instead of prosperous. You can end up depressed and oppressed instead of delivered and free. Amen. Simply because you weren't taught by the Holy Spirit. You weren't led by the Holy Spirit into the fullness of everything that God has made provision for you. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove. We're here as a proof of the pudding. Amen? We're here to prove that what God says is true. We're here to prove that God's will is always good and acceptable and perfect. Hallelujah. It doesn't even start out bad. It starts out good and then it gets better. Come on. God has a perfect will for every one of us. I want to walk in the perfect will. I want to experience His perfect will. Hallelujah. See, when our thinking has changed, in fact, in the New Living Translation, it says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Hallelujah. When our thinking has changed, our lives will be changed from the inside out. Amen. Glory to God. What about Shaka? When the Holy Spirit comes to teach us something, to teach us the mind of Christ, to teach us to think as He thinks. We said that before. He comes to teach us to think like Jesus so that we speak like Jesus, live like Jesus, and do the works of Jesus so that we display the character of Jesus and share in the destiny of Jesus. Hallelujah. Those who meet the real Jesus and receive the relevant words that He says will discover that these words are confirmed by the works that He does, and they will always experience radical change in their lives. These three words, God just impressed them in my spirit years ago: real, relevant, and radical. Am I being real? Is what I'm saying relevant? Is it going to result in radical change and transformation? Because God's to the real. Are you into the real? Do you like the artificial? Do you like the bogus? Do you like the counterfeit? Or do you like the real? Amen. It's easy to slip off into other stuff, but just to stay in that place and say, God, I want to be real. I just want to be real. Even if it seems a bit skew whiff and scaly sometimes and folk don't understand it, I just want to be real. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's stand up together. We've got millions of things to say, but we'll quit here. Hallelujah. Let me just finish with this. We do for people whatever they will allow us to do for them. Just like Jesus never crossed the lines and the boundaries of people's wills. He did for people what they allowed him to do for them. They were bought, sought, and ultimately he desires us to be taught. But he will not cross that line of our will. But we're here to do for people whatever they'll allow us to do for them. And remember, the most powerful thing that we have as we go out into this coming week to reach out into the lives of others, to seek and to save that which is lost, is our own testimony of what God did for us. That's the most powerful weapon that we have. And that's why we need to increase in our experience of God's love and demonstration of his power in our lives, so we have a fresh testimony to bring to people. So we have something relevant to say to them. I know that he bought everyone because he bought me. That's my testimony. I know that he bought you because he bought me. I know that everyone has been sought because he sought me. He sought me and he found me. I don't know where he found you, but he found me in a bit of a state that most people wouldn't want to come anywhere near with a bar stool. He found some people, he probably found you in a much more refined place. But I know where he found me. And because he sought me, I know he's seeking you. I know that everyone can be taught because he taught me. Paul said he takes the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. He teaches them wisdom, the wisdom of God, and all of a sudden even the wisest men can't get their head around it. Can't understand the things that they speak about. Hallelujah. Jesus continually bamboozled the religious leaders, continually brought words that counteracted their desire to trip him up in everything that he said. I know that salvation is real because I'm really saved. Amen. I know that God's word is relevant because it speaks to me right where I'm at. You're not amazed by that, how God just speaks to you where you're at? Religion dresses things up and ignores certain things, but God just speaks to you where you're at. Amen. He's not afraid to tell you where it's at. I know that the Holy Spirit's working in my life because my life's been radically changed. Can anyone else say that tonight? I mean, we're not where we want to be, but we're not where we were. We know that, don't we? God's working in us. And that's what people out there need to hear. There's a God in heaven who longs to work in their lives. The New Wine Skirts, what's a skirt? The New Wine Skin Church is a church that's bought and sought and taught. It's a church where everyone's welcome, where everyone's needs are met, and where everyone is changed. Hallelujah. Do you want to be that church? Do you want to be that new wineskin church? Then you need to be open to the Holy Spirit and his activity in your life. And every time you're challenged, every time you feel the Holy Spirit hitting a place in your life where it doesn't want to move, then just say, Lord, renew me. Renew me to your will. Renew me to your purpose in the earth. Hallelujah. I don't want to lose what you're doing in my life. I don't want to miss out on what. Can I tell you, who knows, living for God's exciting? Hallelujah. That's why we need to live in that place of expectancy. I want you to leave here tonight with an expectancy. I don't want you to say, man, that was the longest sermon I ever had to listen to. I'm so bored out in my skull, I just need to sleep. I want you to leave here tonight with an expectancy, with a fresh hope on the inside of you to see something tomorrow that just blows your mind. Hallelujah. That causes you to rejoice on the inside and say, how great is our God? How great is our God? How great is our God? And maybe that'll be in, who knows, I can't tell you what it'll be like. But I'll Father, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Glory to God. I thank you, Lord, that we were bought, that we were sought, Lord, and that we're taught. Hallelujah. Taught by the Holy Spirit. Taught. Taught the mysteries of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that we have an endless supply, Lord, been opened up to us. That the treasury of heaven has been opened up to us, Lord. We can draw continually, Lord, on love and on hope, on faith. Hallelujah. And joy and peace, Lord God, on healing, on deliverance. Thank you, Lord. We can draw continually on prosperity and all of these things, Lord. We can draw on them, Lord, because you've given us access. Access into your throne room. Access into your throne room, Father. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, I just pray your strong hand of blessing on each life here tonight, Lord. I just recognize tonight that you're just sending us out, Lord, afresh into this week. Lord, to be that church, that glorious church. That glorious church that carries your presence, that carries your anointing. Lord, that gets down in amongst it, Lord, and becomes agents of transformation so people see your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen.